I don't know when I ever stood before a congregation this size, but betimes I say the same, whether it's 6 or 60 or 600. It just comes to me, I've said that beyond time. First, I want to say a great big amen to what we have been listening to. And I believe it would be the Lord's mind for me to come up here at this time. Little thing that sealed it was our brother's verse, and in that verse, these words, "He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." I want to read one verse, Psalm 63. Psalm 63 and verse 1. O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Christian, you and I live in a very wicked world. I doubt if there's any time in the world's history when the world as a whole has been more wicked than it is today. And I would say that, taking into consideration the condition of the world in Noah's day, when the earth was filled with violence, and the earth was corrupted by them, that was in a day unlike today, because you and I today live in the acceptable year of the Lord. The day of grace, we call it. And because of that, I would suggest to you that this day, in our day, God is permitting sin to run its full race, its full gamut of sin. Just before God steps in judgment, like He never has before. And with that, Christian, I want to say from my heart, sin in the world today is having a far greater effect upon our souls, our minds, than we will admit. It is one of the traits of our fallen nature that we are very, very prone always to defend ourselves. In fact, a dear young brother, 19-year age, son of a preacher, said to me one day, years ago, he said, "Well, it's just my nature." I said to him, "Well, just let me ask you, are you talking about the old nature or the new nature?" You know, that disease that we're contaminated with, that has come down through our genes or whatever you want to call them, from the Garden of Eden, it is still very much alive.
And no sooner did they realize that God was at hand than they jumped for excuses. And we'll do it. It's natural. But Christian, the tragedy of all this is that it has affected our sensitivities, not only towards sin, but because of that, the other side of the same coin is it has greatly affected our idea of our God. It is difficult to know this God that our brother's been telling us about. Our whole makeup today is so polluted, it's so contaminated, we're so polluted with the polluted world around us. I mean, it's polluted thinking. It's awfully hard for a Christian to keep his filters clean these days. But brother, if we don't do it, who's going to lose? Well, as always, God is the one who lost most by sin. And in our lives, He's the one that loses most. When we lose our appreciation of who He is and what He's really like. I did my best to get away from this verse, but I've waked up during the night a few times in recent days. Of course, had a good excuse night before last, a real good thunderstorm. Lightning and thunder, just like a good one in the summertime. Well, that's great. I never grieve when I wake up in the middle of the night. To me, the shortest hours of the 24 are the ones that I'm awake during the night. So maybe it helps me to go back to sleep again. But they never bother me. You know, there's no sounds except the sound of the furnace maybe coming on or off. And the refrigerator coming on and off. And that's about the worst thing we hear when I wake up in the night. But you know, your mind is clear. And Christian, the thing that I've craved for since God saved me over 60 years ago, you know, He really is real. And I wish we could all appreciate it more. It is not hard for me. Practice makes perfect, you know, good habits are just as hard to break as bad habits. It's not hard for me nowadays when I wake up in the night, and usually on my back, I go to sleep on my side, but I always seem to wake up on my back, and of course it's not hard to look up when you're on your back and say, Oh God. Do you ever say that? Do you? Really? I don't mean like I hear some say, Oh my God. No, don't you ever talk like that. Christian, don't you talk like that. That is taking the name of the Lord in vain, because you don't really mean it. It's just an ejaculation. And I hear some saying, holy cow, just as easy to say, my God. Christian, don't say these things. That's rank idolatry. And the devil just loves to hear you say it. But when you say, oh, God, there's something about that that has the ring of heaven, has the ring of reality. And you can't say it without everything you've learned by personal experience, everything you've learned of God, everything that God in heaven, your Heavenly Father, has come to mean to you by personal experience, from the youngest of you to the oldest of you. When you say, talk like that, and you say, oh God, everything you know of Him by personal experience, is packed into those words. Oh, God. I just heard it in the hall there this morning about our brother Jim Smith with a brain tumor. You know, you just say, oh, God, how can it be? It is. And Christian, where do we turn but to our God? Sure, we've got to go to the doctor. Sure, we've got to go to the physicians. Sure, we're going to pick out the best specialist in the country. We have to. But all the time, we're saying, oh, God, thou art my God. I well know that our dear brother Jim in these days is saying, oh, God, thou art my God. What kind of God do you have anyway? Come on now. What kind of a God do you have? And really, in the final analysis, he's not any more, as far as you're concerned, than what you consider him to be. And I suppose we might suggest, at least I'm going to say this anyway, how many of us could be charged with alienation of affection when the world comes with their big come-ons and alienates our affection from our God? Alienation of affection. That's what the world's doing to you. Christian, the things that you think are nothing at all, the things that you spend a lot of time on, newspaper, magazines, TV, VCRs. Oh, I like those things because you can just put in whatever you want. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. What do you want? I don't hear nice things about the freedom to put on whatever you want. And nobody will ever know. They won't. Come on. Who are you kidding? Is that the kind of God you have that doesn't know, doesn't care what you look at? You never say, oh, God, thou art my God. What is it that wows you most? What is it that turns you on? The button? Probably. And that's why, Christian, I hear my brethren, my ministering brethren, elder brethren, crying, because of their lack of appreciation of their God. And everything around you that you see, on all the attractions, all the things that you love to look at, all the things that you love to see, all the things that really, really something. Oh, it's exciting. After all, you can't go around with a long face. That reminds me. It's only not many days ago. And I don't know where I saw it. But it was in a book, or it might have been the encyclopedia. I think it was my encyclopedia I picked up one day recently. The picture of the apostles. You know, Peter, James, and John, and Matthew, and all the, and Isaiah, and David, and Moses, and all God's great men of all the ages. And there's pictures of them. There's monuments of them. There's paintings of them. Do you know what struck me about all these
monuments and sculptures and paintings of all these great apostles and mighty men of God who really were mighty men of God that have shaped the very character of the world, changed it.
There's not one of them smiling. Now, come on, will you explain that to me?
Not one of them smiling. And they're laying, of course, I get magazines come into my mailbox there that I've never asked for. But they come in, and there's the leaders, all the leaders. And every single one of them got a great big grin on their face. Now, why didn't those painters and sculptors and artists, why didn't they give any of those great men, why didn't they give them a big smile on their face? Why are they all sober? I don't know if you're catching on to what I'm trying to say. I might not even be able to say it, what I'm thinking. I'll say this. There's something wrong whenever there's got to be a big smile. Somebody complained to me, I can't stand those morning doves. Well, we've got them every day. We've got them all year round and up there in Orillia and around our trees and all year round, they're on all year round. And they're all year round, they're morning too. Some dear Christian said, I can't stand those things. I said, listen, I think they're the only ones that are in touch with the times. You know what I mean? There's something fishy. And I have a suspicion I'm kind of giving a wee tap to some of the things my dear brother Crawford has just been telling us. You see what I mean, Christian? Look at, can I bring you back to this verse? Oh, God. That's what I call a preeminent reality. When everything's sham, fantasy, and the world. I say everything. The world's got nothing but fantasy and sham. I must have reality. I must have something I can plant both my feet on and say it won't move. It will move. Oh God, thou art my God. I heard it one of the dear preachers, one of our, maybe it was last fall, one of the conference. I heard it when I was a young Christian. I'm going to say it again. For young Christians, read your own Bible and pray to your own God. Okay? And you don't need 24 versions. I have fears, and I consider them to be genuine. We're more interested in explanations, expositions, exegesis, the meaning of this word, the meaning of that word, then we are to know God. Your Bible is that you might know God, Christian. You don't need all the answers. That's one of the things I tell young Christians that are just newly saved. Because people are going to find out you're a Christian, you can't hide it. Don't try it. If you make a fool of yourself, they're going to find out you're a Christian. And as sure as anything, they're going to ask you some stupid questions. You just say, I don't know very much, but one thing I know, I was blind and now I see. I was a sinner and Christ died for me, and my sins are gone, and I've God's word for it. You know, how do you tell a man who was born blind, and at 40 years of age, maybe he's got his sight. How do you prove to a man that can see, has got good 20/20 vision, that he wasn't born blind, he can't see. Man. Yeah, but that's what the world's trying to tell you, Christian. Dear man in the office when I worked at the Hydro, and that was a long time ago, of course, because had a little celebration the other night. I'm not going to tell you about that, but anyway, just a token of the Lord's goodness to us. We've been in the work over 50 years now. But a dear man in the office way back in the Hydro days, over 50 years ago, Bill Carr. He said, I think you'll find, Arnold, that in the final analysis, we've all got as much of the Holy Spirit as you have. Yeah? In the final analysis, listen, Eternity is too long to call yourself a fool. Too long. We're just here for a little while. What am I going to do? What do I want? Oh God, thou art my God. I will seek thee early. Now, I've got a little point here I want to get across. I don't see any clock here, but I've got one. And it's right on time. I checked it with the time signal. A little point I want to get across here, Christian. Notice, please. I will seek thee early. A priority result. A preeminent reality. A personal relationship. Thou art my God. And I need no other. And I need nothing else. I have everything with Him. I have everything in Him. And He has given me everything in His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. The inexhaustible Christ. The inescapable Christ. My will. I will seek thee early. What does that mean? Well, in the final, it'll just mean whatever you make it mean. And that's, what, of course, what we're doing with the Bible today. That's what, isn't everybody doing that with the Bible today? Just say whatever you want it to mean? That's what all the... Anybody that wants to just go off on a tack, you know, just a wee tack off, just a wee bit off this way or off that way, you know. You're too far too legalistic. Oh, yeah? Don't come to me with that garbage. Don't come to me with that. It'll be a long time before you and I are very much like the Lord Jesus. And that's what God wants every one of us to be, like His Son. And that's why I say so often, those of you hear me more often, you know I say, what God likes most about His children is what all of us can be all the time. So you see, it has nothing to do with gifts. No. There's no reward for gifts. Oh, no. These dear brethren, you're going to hear this conference. They're not getting any reward for their big gift. No, they're not. And that is why I love the words of the Lord Jesus. Matthew 11:25. I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. Because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. Come unto me and I will give you rest. Ah, Christian, don't look down upon yourself. Don't depreciate yourself. Don't deprecate yourself. Stand your full height. You're a twice-born son of a new creation. And you're going to reign with the Son of God, worlds without end. Stand up and live like what you really are. Your God is the only God. And you can enjoy Him to the full. And as somebody else has said, we're always quoting other people, all that God is available for the person who is available for all that God is. Good for knowing your God. How? I will seek thee early. There's two statements here I want to bring to your attention. I will seek thee early. My soul thirsteth for thee. Please. Please, Christian. Don't twist those around and put the cart before the horse. Okay? Why? Because then you will seek the Lord early when your soul thirsts for Him. When you feel like it. Did you ever say that? I don't feel like it. I don't feel like going to prayer meetings tonight. You don't feel like it? No. What does that mean? Well, that means that the soulish part of you is dominating your spirit and dictating to you, to your will. And poor little Will, I will. Oh, I'm afraid of how I feel. I know the psalmist says here. You know what he says? He says, I will seek thee early. My soul thirsteth for thee. And I want to suggest to you very strongly, Christian, and you know it's true, when you expose your soul to a thirst-creating, a habit-creating element, whatever it may be, when you expose yourself to something that creates habit, you know what the result's going to be, don't you? It's going to dominate you. You expose yourself. You can take a step. You can make a decision. I'm going to try this. But you cannot control the results of the decision that you've made. That is why I want you to get this idea. You say, I don't thirst for God as much as I would like to. I don't love my Bible so much. I don't seem to thirst for the Bible. I don't seem to want to read it as much as I ought. I realize that. You know why? Because you didn't feel like it. Because you let your feelings dominate. Instead of, I will seek thee early. On what grounds? Oh God, thou art my God. And that's all the reason you need. When you have a God who is big enough for you, who you can say with all your soul and with all your life, oh God, thou art my God, I will seek thee early. Early when? Early in the morning. Quite a while since I think since I've said it. But it's really not very hard to roll out of bed and land on your knees. It isn't really. You just try it. It's not really very hard. Roll out of bed and land on your knees? If you don't believe me, just try it. That's early. And how do you expect the day to go good if you don't begin with God? If you don't lift your heart to say, oh God, thou art my God. The big day lies before of me. I need thee, oh God. Oh God, thou art my God, I will seek thee early. I tell you one thing. A lot of young people here seek him early in life. You'll never ever regret it. Early in life. I tell you, it's the most wonderful thing. I was twice in a show in my life. Twice in the theater in my life. Before I saved, of course. I mean, you would understand that anyway. I wouldn't expect any Christian to go to a show after they're saved. And if they did, I would have grave doubts about their standing, their condition before God. You know, the twice I went, I was terrified. I was terrified. Why? Well, I was sure my father would be standing outside the door when I went out and just waiting for me. And I was a teenager. I was taken by somebody else. Encouraged to go. I don't know if they got permission from my... adults. I'm talking about adults took me. Say, listen. The only twice I was ever in a show, it was made old enough to be my father that took me. And it wasn't my father. Christian, I can never forget some of the things I saw those twice that I went to the show over 60 years ago. Never forget it. You know, you expose yourself, it's going to leave an indelible mark on your soul that you'll never be able to eradicate this side of the grave or the glory. Go in for God, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee, my soul thirsteth for thee. But your soul will never thirst for him if you don't lay down the law. Like your dear brother, Mr. George Shivers used to say, he said, I just have to say to myself, come on, George, it's time you did some praying. Come on. Don't be so lazy. You know how it used to be. Those of you are something new. I mean, that's what you got to do, Christian. You just can't cater to you. I must run. I got to do this. You do? More important than God, eh? More important than God. And that's what happens. And that's why he goes down, we depreciate him.
And we do, when we do that, we depreciate ourselves.
I will seek thee early. My soul thirsteth for thee.
And the more you determine to seek him, the more your soul will thirst for them, and you'll never thirst for him, and you'll never be satisfied until you get enough of him to fill your soul, your whole being. My flesh longeth for thee. My whole being is consumed with desire for my God in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. That's when you'll see that there's nothing in this crazy world, mixed up world, fantasy world, running after bubbles.
You know, some of the things my wife, I don't remember a lot of things. You know, my wife says, no, you remember things you want to remember, but I remember my father made a swing for me. I was only 5 or 6 on Jones Avenue, right across the road from the Earl Grey High School, where Earl Grey Public School, where I first went to school. And of course that's over 70 years ago anyway. And
I remember on my swing there singing my heart out, I'm forever blowing bubbles, pretty bubbles in the air. They fly so high, nearly reach the sky, but like my dreams, they fade and die. Oh, sure. What's that? That's my little world. That was my little world, 5 years old, watching the bubbles. Oh, pretty. Is that your big world today, Christian? No wonder you're not craving more of your God. No wonder. Why? You're exposing your soul to those thirst-creating elements that the devil has set up very neatly and very expertly just for you. Just for you. So your God that you love to sing about sometimes gets second best from your heart.
This is a dry and thirsty land, Christian.
And it will only seem, this world will only seem like a dry and thirsty land in the measure that you determine to seek your God. And as a consequence, thirst for him. And the result will be, you'll enjoy saying, and your whole soul will be able to amen it. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee, my soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary.